is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We're thankful to God for his manifold blessings. You can be turning in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. And let's see here, chapter 7. And we want to get Ricky to read, starting at verse 1 down through verse 8. And that's probably not all that we're going to talk about tonight, but that's as far as we need to read. I appreciate the Word of God. I said last night that, I guess it's night before last now, that the Word of God in prophecy is not 80% correct, it's 100% correct. It's always right. Amen. God does not make mistakes. So, if you have your Bibles, turn there to Daniel chapter 7 and begin at verse 1.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four wings, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things.
All right. I want to say before we start tonight, and maybe you've already noticed the last two nights, that sometimes there we will be repeating some of the same things over again. And I doubt that out of this congregation, if there's very much that we cover in all of this material that at some point in time, you haven't already heard really know to be a fact and truth. So as we go over this material, and some of it we'll repeat again and again and again because it's all relative to each other. And I want tonight, if the Lord will help me, I'd like to get to the little horn out of the 10 horns and the little horn out of the 4 horns, if we can get through to that, the Lord help us. We are seeing right before our very eyes in our time the closing of this age and the formation of these 10 kingdoms already are being formulated out of the old Roman Empire and inclusive. So there are many countries or states or countries, however you want to say them, included in the old Roman Empire, 23 to be exact. Amen. But those kingdoms or countries or states, however you want to refer to them, will out of one of those is going to come the man of sin, the Antichrist. And that's the purpose of the book of Daniel. It's most difficult for people to understand the book of Revelation without understanding Daniel first. You take a child 8 years old and give him an encyclopedia to read that has never learned phonics and never learned his ABCs and never learned to read. It's practically an impossibility. So he has to learn in the kindergarten the ABCs and the phonics before he learns to read. And so it is with the book of Revelation. It's difficult to understand much of what it's talking about in this here period of time without first understanding what's happening over here in the book of Daniel. Daniel is the ABCs of Revelation. So the common denominator is that both of these books gives us the insight of the rise of the Antichrist. Now, I want to say again tonight before I start, we are not looking for the Antichrist, though we know he is coming, and the stage is already being set for the rise of the Antichrist. Somebody asked me just recently, said, do you think the Antichrist is alive and living right now? I said, in all probability, yes. Nobody knows who he is. He will not come to the forefront or to his prominence until after two things happen. Number one is the rapture of the church, and number two, the formation of the European or the revised Roman Empire. Well, we are seeing this transpire right before our very eyes in the European Union or the common market, as it is referred to sometime. And I couldn't help but today when I read the day's paper, USA Today, and there's a large article in there about China. And China is doing their best to pressure the United States to get their financial house in order because the economy of the United States affects every economy in the whole world. And China's economy and financial status is being affected by our problems. So that just simply says that we are already having or seeing formed a world global currency or financial system. And so looking and realizing that the rise of the Antichrist, the coming of this Antichrist is coming out of one of these 10 horns or these 10 kingdoms that is going to comprise the revised Roman Empire. Out of this European group as it is known, right now Turkey has applied for European common market status, and it looks as though it's going to be approved if it hasn't already. And also the little island down here of Cilicia has applied. And there's a lot of things that is formulating right now in your own time. We don't have to wait 10, 20 years from now. It is already being formed. And out of one of these 10 kingdoms or countries is going to arise the Antichrist out of one of them. And he must come out of one of those, and we're going to narrow it down when we get over here and look at these four horns. But it's got to come out of one of those 10 kingdoms that is being revised by the Roman Empire. But I want to tell you, the Antichrist cannot come. He cannot come until that federation is finalized. And he cannot come until after the rapture of the church takes place. I'm looking for Jesus to come, aren't you? How many of you want the Lord to come? I thought Ricky done a wonderful job last night teaching and preaching, he got kind of excited a few times there about the coming of the Lord. Amen. Now, there's one other thing that is very important, and this little country of Israel right there is vitally important to us. And keep your eye on Israel. Israel is the fig tree that putteth forth her buds. Keep your eye on that little country of Israel. Whether the temple in Jerusalem is going to be rebuilt before the 7 years covenant, before here, whether it's going to be built before this period of time, somewhere in this period of time, we don't know. The Bible does not specify. It could be rebuilt right at the beginning here of the tribulation. We don't know whether it's going to be before the 7 years covenant that the Antichrist makes with Israel, or whether it's going to transpire and be rebuilt after the rise of the Antichrist. But it must be built. It must be built by the middle of the week. For at that time, the Antichrist breaks his 7-year covenant that he's made with Israel and does away with their worship in the temple and sets up himself in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 gives us the insight of that. Now, after these 10 kingdoms, are formed inside the old Roman Empire, after that, they will exist for a short period of time. We don't know how long. That's in God's providence. God has control over everything. Did y'all know that? He's still in control. And how long that this European Union market will exist, I don't know. I know it'll be for a short space of time. But the Antichrist comes out of one of these 10 kingdoms and overthrows three. He overthrows. All right, you see that little fella right there? He is a little horn that comes out of one of those 10 horns. The Bible tells us that that little horn roots up or jerks by the root three of the other horns, which gives the Antichrist four himself, his kingdom, and three others, which makes four of those 10 kingdoms. Now, he'll have control. It'll take him a while. It'll take him up to 3 or 3.5 years to get control over those other three kingdoms or countries. But he will. He will have control over those other three countries. And when he comes to power and he overthrows the other three of the 10, and this last kingdom is symbolized by the leper. And when you get over here in the book of Revelation, we're going to deal with that after we get over here. But the Antichrist is a powerful figure. He is not only a charismatic figure. He speaks great swelling words, but he is also a great military strategist. And when he gains control over three others of these 10 horns, which will make him four, counting his own, then the other six will give their power unto him. So out of this old Roman Empire here, he gains control over four, and then the other 10 voluntarily give their power or come under his control. There is one exception that I want you to keep this in the back of your mind. There's one exception that is a prominent world power now. Well, two or three of them really, but two in particular, and that's Russia and Germany. And there are a few other countries of Europe and Asia that will be outside of that old Roman empire, that will not come under his control voluntarily. He will gain control of them, but not voluntarily like those six other empires or countries will be. There's something else you need to remember. When the Antichrist rises and becomes the dictator of these 10 kingdoms, you must remember one thing. Those 10 kingdoms do not cease to exist as a country or a kingdom. They continue. They continue as a country. They continue with their own parliament. They continue with their own president or king or dictator or tyrant or whoever. But they are still under control, or they are, subject to, I guess is the best way to put it, subject to this empire of the Antichrist. Now, amen, I am convinced, amen, that there are some things that can be and will be done by negotiations. It's amazing to me, these people that travel around the world, how persuasive they are on their agenda and their policies. The United States, Condoleezza Rice, that has traveled this world over, and let me say before I go any further, don't get too presumptuous in thinking that you know who the Antichrist is. You don't. And as Ricky said last night, Obama is not the Antichrist. There were people, I remember a few years ago, that declared up and down that Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. And then Stalin was the Antichrist. Mussolini was the Antichrist. And the list goes on and on. But I want to tell you, nobody knows now who the Antichrist will be. He is kept from the limelight until the time is ripe and ready for his appearing on the scene. And I thought Ricky touched on that last night. Now, in Daniel chapter 7 that Ricky has read to us tonight, the vision of these four beasts. Here is one. Here is another out of chapter 7. Here is another out of chapter 7. And then it jumps over here in the chart to this terrible beast in chapter 7. Four beasts out of this chapter. Now, it's difficult for us to kind of keep all these things in focus and remember which one's which, who belongs to what. But really, if you have read, how many of you have read the book of Daniel? Have you read chapter 7, 8, and 9? If you haven't, it would do you well to go home and read that. Matter of fact, I think you ought to read the entire book of Daniel myself. It's very helpful. But in Daniel chapter 2, God shows the Gentile world kingdoms to Nebuchadnezzar. You remember who Nebuchadnezzar is? He's the head of gold in the statue that he saw in chapter 2. Amen. And he shows him from the human standpoint as a great and beautiful metallic image that he has a dream or a vision of, a huge statue. And God shows Nebuchadnezzar these world powers from a human standpoint. But in chapter 7, God shows Daniel the same kingdoms from the standpoint of ferocious, wild animals, beast. Amen. And the beasts are symbols of kingdoms, as is clearly stated in the 17th verse of this chapter. If you read on down, and we didn't want to take time to read all of this chapter, but in verse 17, it states that these beasts are kingdoms. And he says in verse 17, these great beasts. Now, God gives the interpretation of this. You don't have to interpret it. God gives the interpretation. And when God gives the interpretation, you don't have to worry about whether it's right or not. It's right. Amen. And these great beasts in verse 17, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Now, the language that he uses in the visions of Daniel chapter 7 and chapter 8 are symbolic, and they're that's very clear from the fact that both of these chapters are interpreted for us in detail by an angel that is speaking to Daniel. An angel from heaven comes down and speaks to Daniel and gives him the interpretation of this dream. It's not a happenstance. It's not maybe he's right. God gives an absolute truth here that this is what it means. Man's interpretation is no more necessary. You don't have to interpret it. God interprets it for us. Amen. And when you begin to realize that God wants us to understand where the Antichrist is coming from. Now, he's coming. We know he's coming out of one of these 10 kingdoms. We know he's coming. That means somewhere in this geographical area he's coming from. He's going to arise as a superhuman being. He has all the answers to the world's problems. He speaks with great swelling words. And not only that, he's a military genius. And he knows how to get things. He is a negotiator. How many times in the news have you recently hear about our politicians negotiating? Get a consensus. Amen. Get that's the way our politicians right now in Washington D.C. They're not passing laws by principle. They're passing laws by negotiation. This one gives up a little bit, and that one gives up a little bit, and that one gives up a little bit, and the first thing you know, principle goes out the window. And that's just the way it is. And so it is with the world. Who would have ever believed that that Russia or the Soviet Union way over here would have ever given up these satellite nations of Romania and Bulgaria and those satellite nations? Who and as well as the Ukraine? Who would have ever thought that the Soviet Union would have been broken up? And a bunch of little nations come out of the Soviet Union without a war, without a tri-continent war, without a worldwide war. But it did by simple. Now, I know we give the credit to Ronald Reagan, and he certainly had an important part to play in that. But we don't know the negotiations that went on behind the scenes and behind the curtain that you will probably never know for at least several more years, if it is ever known. But I want to tell you, negotiations brought down the Iron Curtain, as we knew the Iron Curtain. The wall was torn down. And all of these little countries that at one time belonged to the old Roman Empire, somebody said they would have never done that if time had not been right. You are exactly right. The time is right for the end. We are already near the end. We are nearer the end than what most of us in this congregation tonight believe that we are. We are heading. there will be a super-duper human being. I remember, how many of y'all remember Brother Jim Powers? He was a brilliant man. Really was. He stayed up on every subject. I mean, you couldn't bring up any subject that Jim Powers wasn't well versed in, whether it was in the Bible or current events or whatever, or prophecy or whatever. I mean, he kept up on the times. And Brother Jim Powers said he heard one of the men, the most important men in Europe. And this has been several years ago, said that they did not care who the man was that come to bring the answers to the world's problems, be he man or be he devil. They would be glad to accept somebody that had the answers. And that's the mentality of this generation. They don't care what a man stands for. They don't care what his morals are. Whether he has any morals. The Bible tells us that the Antichrist is going to cause craft to prosper. You know what craft is? That's witchcraft. Amen. And the Antichrist will have... I need to be careful here, but this is what the Bible said. The Bible said he'll have no desire for women. What does that tell you? What he is. Amen. But we are living in the end of time, and people are ready to accept anything if it will, how can I say, if it'll pad their pocketbook. Really. I mean, they'll give up anything as long as they can keep their lifestyle like it is. And a few years ago, America would have never given in and given up many of our liberties and freedoms that we have. Amen. But we are seeing it almost every day on a daily basis. Our liberties and freedoms are being compromised just for the sake of financial security and border security. We would have never dreamed that would have happened 20, 30 years ago. But the mentality of this generation is so changed. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, the lion, and you can't see it probably from where you are, the lion is a symbol, the same symbol as the head of gold on this statue, Babylon, the image that Daniel saw. And the vision was seen during the reign of Belshazzar. Now, Belshazzar was the last king of Babylon before it was overthrown. And the first beast would naturally represent this kingdom that was in existence when Daniel saw the vision, just as it was true that the first kingdom represented by the metals of this image, the first one was Babylon. And so is the vision of Daniel of the beast. The first beast he saw was Babylon. Now, when you look at and read the scripture concerning this first beast, this lion, the wings on the lion symbolize the swiftness that the conquest of these Chaldeans is. And how quickly they came to power and their empire grew and multiplied. Hallelujah. Is anybody awake? Brother Jerry, you awake? Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. The swiftness of the empire of Babylon. They became an empire, a great empire, a luxurious empire, a wealthy empire. Amen. In just a very short period of time. Hallelujah. Don't fall out of your seat there. But... Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But these wings were plucked And the lion stood on his feet as a man. Amen. That means to tell us that he lost his power as a lion. And so it was with Belshazzar. Belshazzar lost the power of Babylon the Great and became just as an ordinary country and was overthrown the same night in which the handwriting came upon the wall. Amen. Now, the bear in Daniel chapter 7, verse 5, amen, this bear symbolizes the same thing that the breast and the arms of the image was, Media Persia. And the same, you know, we're going to see that right on down. And then you see Greece, and then you're going to see Rome. And now we're coming to the leopard and the nondescript beast. This fella right here, he is a terrible beast. He is a iron. His teeth is iron. The Roman Empire was a vicious empire. As I stated the other night, they didn't care who you was. They had no mercy. When they entered into Israel or Jerusalem, they had no mercy. They destroyed that country. They made hash out of it in just a little while. Now, amen, on this nondescript beast, this horrible-looking beast that he is, 10 horns comes out of that, amen, symbolizing the 10 kingdom or the 10 territories that we've been talking to you about already, and that's going to come out of the old Roman Empire, and it's going to arise in the last days, of which we now are seeing them formulate. And it's amazing to me, every day that I listen to the news or read the newspapers or the news magazines, and I see more and more that is swiftly coming to pass. This part of the world right over here in Europe is becoming more powerful all the time. I remember when the European Union first formulated as a federation, nobody wanted their money. They couldn't hardly give it away. But now, their money, the euro, is worth more than the American dollar. And we're seeing a reversal. And they are becoming more influential in the world power. Now, out of this old revised Roman Empire is going to come the man of sin, that Antichrist. Amen. The 10 horns corresponds to the 10 toes on the image of Daniel. Those 10 toes and 10 horns are one and the same. Amen. These 10 horns are going to come into existence. And the beast and the dragon of Revelation chapter 12, they all exist at the same time. And they are all destroyed in the same way by the same person. Amen. Now, some type of federation, this European common market as we know it, or European Union and the euro and the money system there. This is right now, it is considered a loose federation. They agree, but yet they're independent countries. They have their own parliament. They have their own president or dictator, or they have their own political system in their individual countries, but yet they are still one. They are one union. That means they have one common money, the euro. Doesn't matter whether you're in France or whether you're in Yugoslavia, which has been broken up into two or three, four different countries now, Bulgaria or Romania. It's their money is all the same, and you can go cross borders without any problem. You don't have to have passport. to go across the border and get it stamped. It is a federation of countries. We never, I want to tell you, I'll be 70 years old in two or three more months here. When I was a young man, I never dreamed that I'd live to see that happen. I knew what the Bible said. I've been taught it all my life, and I've heard about it all. But I never dreamed that I would live long enough to actually see it come to pass. But we have. Amen. We have there this European union, common market. They have everything common. The pair of shoes in France will cost the same thing if it's in Romania. Same money. You don't have to. Now, if you go to Canada, you got to have an exchange rate. If you go to Mexico, there's an exchange rate. If you go to any other country of the world, if you go to Panama, there's an exchange rate. They don't have that exchange rate. It's all 1 euro. And I want to tell you, believe it or not, America is going to have a change in our financial system. When it's going to happen, I don't know. How it's going to happen, I'm not sure. I don't know whether it'll come as a total financial collapse in the world where everybody will have to agree that your money is the same value as my money. But we do know that we're heading that away for sure. Amen. When I read the scripture, I realize instead of one empire, it is misleading. And get this, it is misleading to teach that the Roman Empire will be one vast empire ruled by the Antichrist. No. Amen. It will be the present 23 states or countries that are inside the territory of the old Roman Empire. And it will continue. They will have their own parliament. They will have their own political system. And they will have their own president, or dictator, or whatever. But it will be subjected to the power of the Antichrist. So, then and only then, after this here 10 kings or 10 horns is formulated, which is now, only after that can the Antichrist rise to power. Only after the church is raptured can the Antichrist rise to power. Amen. And now, this little horn that comes out from among these 10 horns, we look at that. And what about this little horn? Daniel chapter 7, verse 24 states that the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first 10, and he shall subdue 3 kings of the 10. That's what the Bible said. And this will give him 4 of the 10 kingdoms, as I said a while ago. Now, remember I told you we're going to be repeating ourselves several times because it's all related and interrelated together. And now, the Antichrist cannot come to power until after the 10 kings or kingdoms are. He comes up out of the midst of the 10. He does not come before them. He comes after they are formulated. And so it is. Is it possible that he's alive? Probably. It wouldn't surprise me. Age, I have no idea. Where he is born, I'm not sure. We're going to look at that in just a little bit here. Amen. If time don't run out on us first. But I'd like to say that the Bible called the Antichrist the Assyrian. It's important that you remember that. Put that in the back of your head. Now, in Daniel chapter 8, we have another beast here. Amen. Matter of fact, two or three other beasts here. And this vision of these beasts, the ram and the he-goat, the vision deals with the two kingdoms symbolized in the medal here on Daniel. It gives us an insight. You see this beast here himself. The beast is Rome, the old Roman Empire. These ten horns is the revised Roman Empire of our day. Now, what is the ram and the he-goat? The ram is Media Persia. He's got two horns. And the he-goat comes with one big horn right in the middle of his head. And he rams into the ram that has two horns, overthrows him. So the Grecian Empire, as we know, Alexander the Great had the largest empire in territory with the exception of Rome. Alexander Great was a mighty military strategist. He sat down and cried when he conquered all the world that he knew of then, and cried because there was no more world to conquer. So he comes and he rams into this ram and knocks it down and stomps it into the ground and overthrows the Media-Persia Empire. He is the Grecian Empire. Now, this he-goat has one horn, one large, notable horn, and that horn is broken off. We don't have time to read all those verses in chapter 8 and amen that deals with that, but you can read it for yourself when you go home. That horn is broken off, and four horns, notable horns, comes up in the place of that one horn, which is Alexander the Great dies. That horn is broken off, and he dies, and his four generals, his most notable generals, he dies, and those four generals takes over his empire of the Grecian Empire. But now, I want us to notice some things about these men. These men are brilliant minds. There is a Ptolemy. Now Ptolemy takes Egypt, that country down in the edge of the continent of Africa. Let's see here. Lysimachus, he takes present day Turkey. It was called Thrace in those days. And Cassander took Greece. And then the one that was left was Syria. And Seleucus took Syria. So that's the four generals. Now, one out of one of those horns comes a little horn. The Bible calls him the Assyrian and the king of the north. The Assyrian Empire at one time included all of this geographical area. So within Seleucus's empire that he took after the fall of Alexander the Great, Syria. Yeah, thank you. Syria, present-day Iraq, Iran, and there was another country. It slips in my mind there. Turkey, Syria, amen. And no, not Turkey. Syria, Iraq, Iran, and there's another little country that took in. So the Antichrist comes out of one of these. Now, these four, Greece is one of these. Well, we know that there's 10 here, but there's only four here. So that tells us, narrows it down to where the Antichrist does not come out of Europe. He does not come out of Britain. He does not come out of Romania. The Antichrist comes out of one of these four. And if the Bible is right, and it is, it calls him the Assyrian. So he could come, the Antichrist could come out of Iran, which is very probable, or Iraq, or Syria. Could come out of either of those present-day countries. All he has to do is be known as the Assyrian from the scripture. So understanding where these fit into Bible prophecy gives us a little more insight. We know that he's coming out of one of those 10 kingdoms, but then this next chapter narrows it down geographically to where he's coming out of one of those four. He cannot come out of Egypt. And he cannot come out of Turkey because neither are super military countries. But Syria and Iran or Iraq, any of those three countries as we know them, which was the old Assyrian Empire or Syria itself, took in all of that area. The Antichrist comes out of there. Now, we want to deal with that. I'm going to close here pretty quick. Amen. But we want to deal with that in a perhaps a little greater way when we get to the book of Revelation. And we understand that one of these four divisions we understand is in our present day knowledge. Here. There you are. There's Greece. There's Turkey. There's Egypt. And then there's Syria. And out of that area of the world is going to come the Antichrist. And best we can tell, the Bible calls him the King of the North. Now, when the Bible refers to the North, the South, the East, and the West, it is always from Jerusalem. The king of the north, Syria, is north of Israel. Egypt is south of Israel. Iraq and Iran is east of Israel. So geographically, when God refers to the north, the south, the east, and the west in prophecy, it always starts from Jerusalem. What is north from Jerusalem? What is south from Jerusalem? What is east from Jerusalem? And there is a buffer country that I want to talk about later on. There is a buffer country between Israel, present-day Israel, and Iraq and Iran. Does anybody know what that country is? Jordan. Jordan will play a vital port, important part in the preservation of the Jews in the end time. Now she is a buffer zone, separating Iran's hatred for Israel. And Iran, if it could, it would wipe it off of the map right now. But it does not have the capability. Matter of fact, the global world probably at this point in time would not allow that to happen. But the day will come when they will. And the global community right now, for the most part, there's some that aren't, but for the most part, the global community of nations now is supportive of Israel. But that will change. That will change rapidly, very quickly. But this little country right in between Israel, there's Israel, and right in between Israel and Iran is that little country of Jordan. Jordan has its own king and has had. The king of Jordan has been very, very supportive of Israel. I'm trying to think of the king's name that's in Jordan. Does anybody remember? But he was trained by the military of Israel. very brilliant man, and he knows how to survive in such a adverse climate politically and militarily in that part of the world. And Jordan will befriend Israel when the Antichrist seeks to invade that little country of Israel. We'll see. We'll see. Times will change. But I want to tell you, amen, keep your eye on that little country of Israel, because everything in prophecy revolves around that one little country that is no bigger than New Hampshire or some one of our small states up in the New England part here of our country. Israel is no bigger than that. And yet the eyes of the whole world is on that little country and what she does. I want to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And the Bible tells us, pray that you may be worthy to escape. And I pray that God will help us as Christians in America to keep our eyes open and realize that the end is very near and we're looking for the Lord to come. Amen. Let's come pray.